Hey guys, Mike here for Hokie Hangover on behalf of the good folks over at Main Street Pharmacy. Former Downtown Blacksburg Business of the Year in 2019, Jeremy Counts and his staff at Main Street Pharmacy have you covered for all of your pharmaceutical needs. Medication, school supplies, you name it. Jeremy and his staff, family-owned business, they got you covered over at Main Street Pharmacy in downtown Blacksburg. They've been a sponsor of our podcast since the beginning, going on 5 years now, and there's a reason why. They're extremely, extremely reliable. They're good people. They're friends of ours, friends of the podcast. Head on over to Main Street Pharmacy, 301 South Main Street, downtown Blacksburg. Open Monday to Friday, 9 to 6, Saturday from 9 to noon. They're closed on Sundays. You can be reached at 540-605-7721. That's Main Street Pharmacy, 301 South Main Street in downtown Blacksburg.
Hokie Hangover is proud to be sponsored by Homefield, the premium collegiate apparel brand in the United States. Based in Indianapolis, Homefield is committed to creating comfortable and officially licensed apparel featuring vintage college designs. Homefield puts in extra reps for each of the more than 150 colleges they highlight, discovering unique logos, mascots, and iconic moments to create the best look at your tailgate. Go to homefieldapparel.com and use the promo code BEAMERBALL to get 15% off your first order. Homefield makes online shopping so easy, even I can't screw it up. Again, use the promo code BEAMERBALL to get 15% off your first order and acquire blue chip apparel from Homefield, an official sponsor of Hokie Hangover.
Hokie Hangover, it's Wednesday night, January 24th. We are back. We haven't recorded a podcast in about 3 weeks. We tried to do this last week. All hell broke loose for me, Ricky, to be totally transparent. A lot of the listeners have messaged me and stuff like that, which I really appreciate. Just want to say that, but all hell broke loose. So we didn't record last week, but we're recording here now, Wednesday night. We're back. And it's a good time to do it because the ACC schedule, the ACC conference released their full schedule. We have the dates in which Virginia Tech will be playing their games. This podcast did very, very well last year when we recorded the night that the schedule was released. So Ricky and I are back to do that again with Andrew traveling on business slash pleasure. He's following the PGA Tour's West Coast swing while he's out there for work. So good for him. So it's just Ricky and I.
Andrew doing Andrew things, but yeah, I guess it kind of worked out, right? That we were, you know, we're looking at kind of the schedule and when we wanted to publish stuff, and we told ourselves, well, Virginia Tech has a game Tuesday night late, so maybe we record Wednesday. And then after that, we're like, oh, that's going to be perfect because it's the schedule release. So it is nice to know when the games are, because I do think that that plays a big role in the season. Like, we've known who the opponents were, but now that we know the order that they're going to be in, it kind of helps us. And actually, I have a bit of a bone to pick with the ACC once again about this schedule, but we'll get in that in a moment.
Okay, well, that's good. That creates plenty of content for you and I, that you have a bone to pick with the ACC. I like that. It's a hot start to the podcast this evening. I want to start with this before we get into the schedule itself. Virginia Tech announced when the spring game will be. So we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, Ricky, but just want to mention it'll be Saturday, April 13th at 3 p.m. So Virginia Tech will be having their spring game in early April once again. The school announced that this week. We hadn't had an opportunity, obviously, to talk about that yet, but just wanted to get that out there. In addition to that, I just want to talk about two roster moves that were made. One involving Keontae Jenkins. He was one of a couple players that had a COVID year remaining. Andy Bitter had asked Brent Pry earlier in the week, hey, is Keontae Jenkins coming back? The school confirmed that Keontae Jenkins will be back. He's been working out in Blacksburg. He is enrolled in classes, so he will be back. That's significant for the Virginia Tech defense.
It is. Part of it is they've got guys at that spot that are young players. I mean, Caleb Woodson got a fair amount of time on the field this year, but having a veteran presence there will certainly help. And it may also be a situation where those guys, you know, move around a little bit. There's a lot of issues at linebacker already. I don't know if Keontae Jenkins is in the right position to maybe play that outside backer position rather than the star position in this defense. But how they handle him, Woodson, is going to be very interesting because from the sounds of it, they're very high on Caleb Woodson. And you would hope that he would be able to make at least some contributions in year two.
Well, and Woodson played a lot when Keontae Jenkins was banged up. You know, he hurt his shoulder and Woodson came in and he took his lumps. But I think by and large, as a true freshman, I think he played pretty well in relief of a guy in Jenkins who's a veteran. I think the one thing that's also significant with Jenkins coming back, and you mentioned kind of the shuffling that may take place at the linebacker position. I think there's also going to be an opportunity where I think Virginia Tech could potentially get a look at Keontae Jenkins at safety. Now, Jenkins started his career in the defensive backfield. He obviously moved to linebacker and played that position. Really, once Brent Pry got to Virginia Tech is when he switched positions. But there is some questions, certainly, in the back end of Virginia Tech secondary, and it's a place where Jenkins has played before. So I think to your point, Ricky, if the staff's looking at this defense and they're really high on Woodson, they would like him to play more snaps. They may want him to contribute more of a starting role. I think there's certainly an opportunity for Jenkins to get on the field, if not at another linebacker position, then potentially at safety. I do think Jenkins will be a starter on the defense. A veteran presence. He'll be one of several. This will be a very good Virginia Tech defense in 2024 on paper going into it. And I think having Jenkins as an option to move around is you know, having a veteran to move around the defense, I think is what you want, right? Rather than trying to figure out a bunch of different freshmen at new spots. I think having a guy who's kind of been there, done that is really important.
Yeah, and even if he's not the guy in week seven, he's got a pretty good shot at being the guy week one in terms of being the guy that's most prepared to play. Well, it'll be interesting to see what Caleb Woodson does, though, in year two. I mean, generally you want those guys to redshirt as freshmen, but he was in a position where he got plenty of playing time. And, you know, like you said, kind of mixed results, right? Had – like you said, took his lumps, and that's to be expected for most freshmen. But how they handle Keontae and Caleb in that safety, both safety spots, will be kind of one of the big talking points as we get closer towards spring practice.
Agree. The other roster move was Clayton Frady, who, you know, was one of the couple of Virginia Tech offensive linemen, maybe the only Virginia Tech offensive lineman transfer last year.
He was the only one last year, yeah.
And he never really cracked the rotation. And he had a COVID year left, but he's moved on. He's done playing football. So I think we can officially mark that as an evaluation miss by Brent Pry's staff in terms of bringing in offensive line help. They officially swung and missed there.
Wish Clayton the best of luck in his future endeavors.
Yes. Pursuing a career in something other than sports.
Yes.
Totally fine. Virginia Tech football schedule. Ricky, it's here. I am just going to run through the game, start to finish with the dates. And then you and I can go through interesting things about the schedule, your general takeaways. I think that's the way just to do it. We're just going to lay it out. A lot of these games do not have times, right? Most of them do not have times, but at the very least, we know when the games are. So I'm going to throw that out there to start. Virginia Tech will be opening the season on August 31st. That's a Saturday on the road in Nashville against Vanderbilt. We knew that before tonight. We knew that Virginia Tech was opening their season with Vanderbilt. That's not a surprise. We knew all about the non-conference schedule. Hokies host Marshall the following week, September 7th, for the home opener. Hokies travel to Old Dominion. Hope to God that's the last game in that series. I'm done with playing Old Dominion, especially on the road. Don't love that. Hokies then host Rutgers on September 21st. and then travel to Miami for the start of ACC play the following Friday, September 27th, Ricky. And then in the first scheduling quirk, right, maybe not even a quirk, but it's something that we are monitoring, is when is Virginia Tech traveling to California? We have our answer. Virginia Tech plays Miami on that Friday, the 27th. They then travel 8 days later on the road to Stanford and Palo Alto, Saturday, October 5th. The Hokies then have 12 days off before playing against Boston College in Lane Stadium on Thursday night. So that's a Thursday night staple game. Hokies got that in mid-October this year. 9 days later, Hokies host Georgia Tech. They then travel to Syracuse on November 2nd. Before hosting Clemson on the 9th of November, Hokies get a second bye week in the month of November to face Duke on the 23rd in Durham before concluding the season on Saturday, November 30th in Blacksburg against Virginia. Ricky, ran through that start to finish. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the non-con itself first, because we haven't broken that down, really. We've talked about it kind of in passing on other podcasts, but let's start with the non-conference schedule, because this was something that we discussed a lot when the schedule came out last year, as far as, okay, that non-con last year could have been anywhere between 1-3, 2-2. None of us really saw it going 0-4, but we looked at that non-conference schedule, and we were like, man, that could make or break Virginia Tech's quest for bowl eligibility. This year, expectations are going to be higher going into the season. Virginia Tech's returning a ton of production on both sides of the football off of a very successful year two for Brent Pry. So looking at this non-conference schedule, at Vandy, home against Marshall, at ODU, and home against Rutgers, how do we feel about it on paper?
I'm not going to overlook this Vanderbilt game on the road. I mean, I know that Vanderbilt hasn't really gotten going under what Clark Lea, I believe, is the name of that coach. And there was a lot of thought that him coming from Notre Dame would make Vanderbilt potentially one of those kind of plucky SEC teams that usually stinks in conference and then always kind of plays up to par against other teams from other conferences. But that hasn't really been the case with Vanderbilt. They played their season in like a half stadium this year because it was under renovation.
Yeah. Yep.
They couldn't get it done in time. I'm not going to overlook that. That's a really important game to start off the year. I mean, if you're able to say that you went on the road, you beat an SEC team to start your season, I think that really gets everybody feeling the right way about things. And I think it'll calm a lot of nerves. I mean, yes, we know Vanderbilt is probably the worst SEC team in the conference, but getting a road win against a Power 5 opponent, regardless of how bad they are, is certainly nothing to complain about. The Marshall game, it's a bit of revenge here. Virginia Tech's got to win that one hands down.
Yep.
The game against Rutgers, same deal, another revenge game, right? We talked about how the Marshall game and the Rutgers game were really awful for the Hokies in the sense that, you know, against Rutgers, they gave up, 200-some rushing yards and lost against a quarterback that could barely complete a pass. And then against Marshall, they got beat by Rasheen Ali and a team that kind of faded down the stretch in Marshall. This Old Dominion game, we weren't really sure it was going to happen. There were some rumors floating around that Witt and Virginia Tech was trying to negotiate themselves out of this contract. We'll have to see if that carries on for next year, but Virginia Tech is coming back to Norfolk, my stomping grounds, down here in the 757. Yes, I will hopefully be at this game. This is obviously a must win, right?
Yeah, I mean, dude,
Virginia Tech is 0-2 in their trips to Norfolk. The circumstances are going to be much different for this. Brent Pry and the Hokies will walk in as the probably overwhelming favorites.
Yeah.
In this game, which,
yes,
to be fair, they were overwhelming favorites in 2018. Not so much in, 22? But Virginia Tech's got to win this game.
Have to.
If you want to say you're the flagship institution in the state in terms of football, well, these are the games you got to win going away, right? This seems to be over in the third quarter. Seems to not be an issue. ODU needs to get spanked. And quite honestly, they should. I'm not really sure what they've got coming back next year. But even if they do bring back a lot, it's not going to mean much because they weren't very good this year. So yeah. To me, this is a very, very friendly non-conference schedule. You're getting, I mean, really, there's no long trips here in the non-con, which we'll talk about long trips in a moment.
Yeah.
But the trip to Nashville is not far, and then the trip to Norfolk's not that far, and it's within your own state anyway. So I think Virginia Tech's got to go 4-0 in this stretch here. And, you know, 3-1 at the absolute worst. And that loss probably better be to someone like Rutgers or maybe Vandy. But if you lose to Marshall or ODU, we're going to have some problems again. But definitely an inviting start to the season. I think Virginia Tech can absolutely go 4-0 in that stretch.
Yeah, different conversation than what we were having last year when the schedule was released. We're like, let's try to go 2-2.
1-3.
Right. Now Virginia Tech has a quarterback. Now they got, you know, a defense that looks like it was really coming together.
Not just a quarterback, but really an entire offense.
Yes.
Seems to have not only plugged a lot of holes, but found a bit of an identity.
Yeah, for sure. Depth at wide receiver. Bashel Tootin's really good running back. Like, this is, you got to go. You got to go 4-0. You're going to be favored in all four of these games, I think.
And I would argue that they're probably going to be double-digit favorites in two of those games.
Two, maybe.
I mean, they're probably double-digit favorites in here at ODU.
Yep.
They're probably a double-digit favorite against Marshall, depending on how week one looks.
Yep.
And there's a chance they could be double-digit favorites on the road against Vandy, although I doubt it. If I were betting man, I'd probably set that line at like 5 or 6.
Yeah. I was thinking more
like
eight or nine.
Who knows what the Rutgers game is going to look like.
I was thinking more like 8 or 9 for the Vandy game, but I think it'll be inside 2 touchdowns. I would be surprised if it was.
I think it'll be inside 10 points.
Yeah. Yeah. So do I. Yeah. So do I for the record.
But I mean, 4-0 seems like that's kind of the first major goal of the season, right?
Agree.
Is to get through non-conference play unscathed.
Agree. I think that would be significant. Teeing up for the Friday, September 27th, where you are traveling on the road to Miami. Now, I saw some back and forth in Virginia Tech Twitter. Some people were upset about the Friday game against Miami. Some people were not. I don't really care. I personally don't care. Doesn't really matter to me that they're playing Miami on a Friday night. I don't really care who the opponent is. That's fine. They want to put a game on Friday. That's totally fine. Who cares?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of college football games on Fridays in general. I don't really like the
fine discussion.
Yeah,
that's a whole thing.
It's not my thing. But I mean, in terms of Virginia Tech, quote unquote, getting screwed by having to play a Friday night game, folks, this team won 7 games last year. The year before, they won 10, right? Like, Virginia Tech is, in a lot of ways, still rebuilding some of that image and some of that brand, and it's not going to happen overnight. So right. don't get all worked up about Virginia Tech having to play a Friday night game. But what you should get worked up about, and what I'm worked up about tonight, boys, back-to-back trips to Miami and Stanford. I mean, thanks, Jim Phillips. I appreciate the assistance here in having to go to Miami 1 week, and then 8 days later, we've got to go to Northern California. Thank you so much. That's incredible. It's so generous to this team. I really appreciate it. Thank you. So not only are you going to make us have to take this West Coast trip, what, every other year, but then the years we get it, you're going to get screwed because it's going to be on the back end of having to play a team that's 3 or 4 states away.
So here are my thoughts are a little different on this. Number one, I thought that Virginia Tech might get like Clemson before having to go to Stanford. I think that would be worse. The other thing is, like, Miami's like an hour and a half, 2 hour plane ride. Really? Like, is it really that big of a deal? That and the fact, Ricky, that this game's on a Friday. This game's on a Friday. You get an extra day. So I prefer, like, if they're going to go on the road twice, I will say I'm glad it's a Friday and then a Saturday the following week. You get the extra day. That does matter for travel purposes, especially when you have to go to the West Coast. So I think that's helpful. Would I have preferred a bye week before going to Stanford? Absolutely. The bye week after Stanford, I think, will be helpful, but I would have preferred it before that game. I am glad that it's like, now Miami's got a real good offensive line. It will be a body blow.
By the way, Mike, 2 hours.
Two hours officially. Thank you.
it will I had be to look that up real quick because an hour and a half seems short.
It's yeah. I don't know. I was thinking
you were much closer than I expected. By the way,
no, it's okay. I've only taken a handful of flights to Miami, and in my head, I mixed it up with Orlando, which
I did
me,
it once, and it was awful.
Hour and a half flight is to Orlando, not Miami. So my fault there. The Miami game. I'll tell you what my concerns are about this, right? Having the Miami Stanford game back to back, because this kind of plays into your point a little bit and plays into kind of a point I was making about Clemson, where like I was concerned about Virginia Tech getting into a body blow game and then having to fly to the West Coast. And I think Clemson is a better developed Miami in the trenches, but Miami does have an offensive line that from year one under Mario Cristobal to year two got a lot more physical and a lot better up front. And I think they'll be even better in year three. So it's not exactly going to be a cakewalk, especially for Virginia Tech defensively, to go up against that Miami offensive line and then have to fly to the West Coast and get your body adjusted to a different time zone, playing a game at a weird time. So that's not lost on me, but I think it sets up better than what I was anticipating would happen, that Virginia Tech would be like hosting Clemson and then having to go to the West Coast. I was like preparing for that.
There's a pretty good chance that Virginia Tech is playing Stanford at what, 1 a.m. Eastern time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, if Virginia Tech,
it's just absurd.
Ricky, if Virginia Tech, the way I look at it, right? Like, if Virginia Tech starts the year 4-0, regardless of what happens in that Miami game, win or lose, Virginia Tech probably is likely going to be nationally ranked when they play Stanford, right? And ESPN is going to want to put that game, or ACC Network, whoever has the rights to it. I'm kind of hoping it's like the eight o'clock Eastern ACC Network slot, because then Tech's playing at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not really that.
I wouldn't hate that.
Right? So, I mean, it's 8 Eastern. They're used to playing night games. They just played one 8 days earlier, right, on Friday night. I don't think that would be as big of a deal. I want to avoid that late night ESPN slot where it's like 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific.
I knew that Virginia Tech would be in the Pac-12 after dark game.
I know. I know. I was talking to Joey Weaver, my podcast partner for my ACC podcast. I was talking to him about this. Like, it's going to be weird when we can't do our Saturday night reaction shows until like 1:30 in the morning next year, because
the game's still going on.
Now we're doing ACC after dark, right? Because the games are still going on.
If we're going to get any Big Ten after dark games now.
Oh, those are coming.
Oregon, Washington.
Yeah, those are coming. We're going to get Big 12 after dark as well with Arizona yeah. State. And
I understand your point about Miami not being that long of a flight, but when you consider it with all of the rest of the types of travel that they have to do for these games, it just sucks that your two longest flights of the year happen to be back-to-back weeks, right?
I agree.
So one of the parts about the old schedule before all this, you know, all the changes happened, every other year Virginia Tech had to go to Miami, Boston, and Atlanta. And those were the years you kind of worried about, you know, can the team handle all this traveling? And how would those trips kind of be booked up, right? Is your Boston trip and your Miami trip back to back? But
it looks like a cakewalk now.
Now you're just making it worse.
Now it's like, oh, good. I get to go to
San Francisco.
I get to go to one of the southernmost parts of the United States and then immediately fly across the country and play a Stanford team that is improved from what it was a few years ago, but is not very good.
Yes. Thank God Stanford is not being coached by Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Which, early stage.
Happy
David
trails,
Chop.
Jim Harbaugh going to back to the NFL.
Literally broke an hour ago.
Still a little disappointed about that, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. So Virginia Tech is not facing Jim Harbaugh Stanford or early stage David Shaw Stanford. So we can be thankful for that. They're facing Troy Taylor Stanford, which is like something in between like the worst of David Shaw and the best of David Shaw. So they're pretty mediocre. But this is the game where I'm more concerned about Virginia Tech from like a time zone standpoint than from a, oh, we could lose to this team because they're better than we are standpoint. So I think that's certainly a winnable game if you take the West Coast element out of it, which is a big part of the conversation.
Yeah, the nice part is, too, is they do get some extra rest after this two-game stretch, right? They have the kind of a week and a half rest before they face Boston College at home, which is really cool that the 30th anniversary of ESPN's Thursday Night Football is coming to Lane Stadium. I'm really happy about that. Wish it could have been against a cooler opponent, quite honestly, but happy that we're at least getting another Thursday nighter at home.
Yeah, for real. Although looking at the home schedule, I'm kind of perplexed. I'm a little bit perplexed because we're like complaining about BC at home and like the only other opponent worth a damn. I mean Georgia Tech, I think, is going to be a, we'll talk about the stretch of the schedule here in a second. But I think the only other like big time, like the only big time opponent at home this year is Clemson. So it's like, you're probably not putting that game on Thursday night. It would be kind of cool, but like ESPN is not putting that game on Thursday night, especially Virginia Tech and Clemson are both going to be good. They're not going to put that game on Thursday.
If there's, especially if there's any chance that either one of those teams could play in the conference championship game, that game will be absolutely on ABC either at like 3:30 or 7:30 or 8 o'clock or whatever time slot that is.
Agree. No, I'm totally with you. All right. So back to the schedule. So we talked about kind of the toughest stretch of the schedule from a travel standpoint, but you know, you mentioned Virginia Tech has 12 days off between the Stanford game on the road in Palo Alto and then Tech's next game on Thursday night against Boston College. This is a real defining stretch of the schedule for me. I tweeted earlier that it was like a 3-game stretch. It's real defining, but it's kind of, and it's the Georgia Tech at Syracuse and Clemson after this BC game, but it's just a weird scheduling quirk that Virginia Tech plays Stanford. They have 12 days off. Then they play Thursday night and then they got like 9 days off. And then you go into a stretch, which I think is really, really important. So you got the BC game, you got your 9 days off, you host Georgia Tech, a Georgia Tech team that's basically in the same stage of the rebuild as you are. I think that's a really, really important game. You travel to Syracuse in a year one coaching situation with Kyle McCord, a quarterback, and then you host Clemson on Saturday the 9th. And I think these 3 to 4 games could define the entire season for Virginia Tech, Ricky.
Yeah, I mean, if the thought is that Virginia Tech can possibly compete for an ACC championship berth, you're going to have to go through Clemson. I think that that's pretty much accepted. Regardless if they're not the same team or not, that's besides the point. Again, back at it with the travel. Like, Syracuse is a weird place to travel to. that being sandwiched in between these two home games, which, Mike, you mentioned, I think, very importantly, that Georgia Tech is kind of in that same position as Virginia Tech in its rebuild, and they do have a quarterback that is more than capable of putting up big numbers. And I'm not really sure what the rest of that roster is going to look like. You know, there so much can change from now until August, but that definitely is an important stretch there. And then you go right into another first-year coaching situation on the road at Duke with Manny Diaz.
After a bye week, bye week, you have Tech's got two official byes, and then they have kind of like, then they have like one mini bye, right? With the Thursday to Saturday, the BC of Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
A quirky schedule in that regard, but that 4-game stretch we just mentioned, off on the 16th of November, then they travel at Duke, right? To Duke, short trip. And then home against Virginia to close the year. And we'll see what Duke looks like with Manny Diaz, but you know, they got Malik Murphy from Texas coming in at quarterback. Manny Diaz You know, I think he got the short end of the stick a little bit at Miami because I did like how his team was starting to trend right before he got the axe because they wanted Cristobal so damn bad. So I'm interested to see how Diaz does at Duke. I think he could surprise some people. I don't know if he'll be as good as Elko was right away, but I do think that they'll be pretty well coached. And then home against Virginia, which is a rivalry game that you've owned and obviously is a must win for a multitude of reasons. Recruiting, the fact that you've owned the rivalry, the whole flagship program in the state thing. Plus is to close the year, and if Virginia Tech wins the games that they want to win and gets themselves in contention for an ACC title, that final game of the year could be huge because I do think the ACC is going to be wide open. Like, I think Clemson's going to have, if not the most talent in the league, maybe like second. I don't know. Like, Florida State's losing a ton. Louisville has brought in, the reason I say second is because Louisville's brought in a ton of transfers, impact transfers, good players, and they had some good young guys contributing this year. So I think Louisville has a case to make for potentially one of the best rosters in the ACC.
Still don't know who's going to play quarterback for them, though.
No. They got Tyler Shuck from Texas Tech, but I think he's mid.
Who cares?
So who cares? Mid. Mid, and they're not on the schedule. So if we see.
Is he like Jack Plummer, a Jag?
Yeah, maybe Jag plus, maybe like slightly
Jag
better.
Plummer,
Yeah,
sorry.
Jag Plummer. All right, so I mean, we talked in kind of like our season recap post bowl game celebration podcast a few weeks ago. We talked about how Virginia Tech was moving into I think you said this, Ricky, moving into the expectations phase with Brent Pry. And I thought that was really good when you mentioned that. That was kind of like year one, it's no expectations, just put something together. And we were a little disappointed with year one. Like, let's call it what it
We
was. We were
were.
disappointed with year one. Year two, we kind of got to where we thought we would get to, but it was kind of a roller coaster to get there. But it was clear going into the end of the year that Tech had an offensive identity. They had a quarterback. They had a running back. They have depth at receiver. The defense, from young guys to veterans, all these contributors are coming back into the fold. Virginia Tech made some hay. We'll see how the transfers do, but they made some hay in the transfer portal with, you know, filling some positions of need. So this is a team that's going to be, I think, a trendy pick to contend in the ACC, as I think it should be. There's a lot of certainty from a team that started to play well towards the end of the year. With how the schedule has laid out, Rick, start to finish, we're reacting to it the night of, with how the schedule is laid out, do you feel any differently in terms of how you think Virginia Tech, it's January, but how you think Virginia Tech will fare against the schedule with how it's laid out? We talked about the tricky spots, but I think overall, non-con sets up well in conference. Yes, you play Clemson, but you know, you get a Miami team that barely made a bowl game, and that's about it. Like, Georgia Tech was a bowl team. Syracuse and Duke are both first year coaching situations. Virginia's a mess. Stanford is not very good. I think in conference, you avoided a lot of headaches as well. Not getting Louisville, Florida State. I know they're losing a ton of talent, but they can recruit. Like, not
They
dealing with
also
that.
got a big influx of talent with Nick Saban leaving. They had something like three or four starter transfers from Alabama.
Right.
But Mike, it sounds like what you're asking me is, do I feel better or worse?
Better or worse, or about the same. You have to feel
You have
worse.
to feel better.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's despite kind of the weird travel, which is going to become a yearly issue essentially for most teams in the ACC. I feel pretty good about things. I think your non-conference schedule sets up well for the most part, and each of those games Virginia Tech is probably going to be favored in. And if Virginia Tech's able to get through that stretch 4-0, you all of a sudden feel really good about how they can handle the next stretch of games. And Mike, you mentioned the Georgia Tech game. I think that's really pivotal in terms of maybe kind of being a litmus test for the remainder of the season. I think the Miami game is another one. I mean, right off the bat in conference play, right? You're getting a team that's always going to have, or not, I should say always, most of the time Miami has more talent than the team that they're playing. That's probably going to be the case again when Virginia Tech steps on the field in Coral Gables or Miami Gardens or whatever the hell they're calling it these days. But that doesn't mean that Miami's a very good team. And we saw those issues that they had this year. I mean, Mario Cristobal kind of broke Tyler Van Dyke for some reason. And there's all sorts of issues there that they have that kind of go deeper than just what's on paper. And that makes that game still winnable, in my opinion. I'm not sure that Virginia Tech is going to be favored. I would actually be willing to bet they're probably going to be dogs in that game.
With Cam Ward at Miami now, especially.
Yeah.
Getting that. So, that was a huge question, and they got that answered since last time we recorded.
Yes, yes. And but even then, how do we know that
we don't
Cam Ward is going to translate
we
what
don't.
He did at Wazoo, what we he don't. Did at Incarnate Word? Like, just do we know if any of that's going to work? We don't, right? So Miami is still very much a question mark to me. The Stanford game is just kind of an odd East Coast playing on the West Coast deal. I think that's going to be a bit more challenging game than we might expect and maybe hope. But for me, the Miami game to start ACC play on the road, at home against Georgia Tech, at home against Clemson, I think those are probably your three more pivotal games of the year in terms of what's going to define what kind of team this is.
Yeah.
If Tech's able to go 2-1 in those three games, I feel pretty good about this team getting to 8 or 9 wins potentially. If Tech goes 1-2 in those three games, or, you know, God forbid, 0-3, all of a sudden you're starting to look at, well, maybe they're going to win 6 or 7, or maybe worse. But I don't think that's going to be the case. So it's certainly a manageable schedule, you know, despite me, you know, whining about 2 long plane rides back to back weeks. It's not too bad. And you're absolutely right. We have reached the expectations portion of Brent Pry's tenure, and it's time to put up or shut up. And it's going to be a really important offseason. Got to have guys stay healthy, right? Going to have to make sure that you're able to carry over a lot of that success that you had, especially on the offensive end, towards the end of the season. So if Virginia Tech doesn't have a great season, it's not because of the schedule. We can certainly say that. This is not one of those gauntlet type schedules that you find sometimes, not as much in the ACC, but certainly find it often in the Big Ten or the SEC, where you're looking at 4 or 5 bona fide top 15, top 20 teams. That's not the case. And as a matter of fact, looking at the schedule, Virginia Tech's probably only going to play ranked games against 3 teams, maybe.
Not many.
Miami might be ranked in the September 27 game. Clemson's probably going to be ranked on November 9th. And then you're thinking Georgia Tech, maybe Rutgers, maybe. Like, so really only 2 teams that you look at and you say, those are probably going to be ranked teams.
I have trouble seeing anybody. I mean, Georgia Tech, maybe, yeah. Like, Miami, I think it's a possibility. Georgia Tech, Clemson, outside chance of Duke with Malik Murphy, very outside chance. 3, maybe 4.
4 tops.
Tops. I can't imagine.
Then, if it is 4, only one of them will probably be in the top 15.
Clemson's it.
It'll be Clemson. I don't think Miami's a top 15 program this year. I'm not sure they're the top 15 program most years.
Well, at the very least, I'm not sure they'll be a top 15 program when Virginia Tech plays them at the end of September. Like, you know, even if they were to be, I think beating
Let's
a 4-0 Virginia
Miami
Tech.
Schedule. Let's see. They got Florida to open the year. That's no joke.
Florida A&M to open the year.
No, they have UF, and then they get Florida A&M.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at something different. Yes, they Florida, then Florida A&M. So, yeah. I mean, that Florida
game. And
then
game, they get the stupid, is that Ball State?
Ball State. Yeah, Ball State.
And then South Florida. So
3-1, 4-0. I mean, they're going to be favored against Florida, I think.
Yeah, but you know, to Florida's credit, they recruited their ass off this year. I think they had a pretty good transfer class coming in. So Billy Napier hasn't quite figured things out on the field, but that'll be a game where they're not out talenting somebody, I think.
No, I do agree with that. I agree with that. It'll be even from a talent standpoint. So I mean, Miami's probably at the very least going to be 3-1, but you know, 4-0 going into the Virginia Tech game. They could potentially be top 15 depending on how high the. I just know the national media tends to overrate Miami a little bit, and the fact they're getting Cam Ward, like they could end up certainly being a top 15 team when Virginia Tech travels down there. I could see that happening. Actually, now that I look at the schedule, I think the hype could be out of control there. Trap games. In my opinion, I'm going to name a few. Rutgers.
Yep.
Agree?
Absolutely.
Rutgers before Miami.
Actually, I'm not even sure it would classify as a trap game because I think they're going to go into that game seen on relatively equal footing. Like, I mean, Rutgers had a pretty respectable year last year with a quarterback who couldn't throw the football. And they played in the hardest division in the country last year.
Yes,
the Big
yes.
Ten East.
Big Ten, yeah. Big Ten East, tough
so,
division.
I mean, they had such a tough schedule, and they still had themselves a pretty solid year. So, I mean, I think I'm not sure Rutgers can really classify as a trap game because I think they're going to be seen on relatively equal footing, which I think kind of goes to what your point is that Virginia Tech can certainly lose that game.
Yes.
I don't know that I would skip the ODU game, Mike. I don't know that
I don't
I would.
Even want, I don't, I really don't want, I out of principle, I can't do it. I will entertain your argument for it. Out of principle, I cannot and will not say.
How about the road trip to Vanderbilt? Is that a trap game?
Yeah, I'd rather worry about, you know, what restaurants we're going to and stuff like that than worrying about whether or not Virginia Tech's actually going to lose to Vanderbilt. I will say Rutgers, but all right, I have a couple. Rutgers before Miami. I think that's a trap game. Boston College coming off of a bye after a West Coast trip where you play two tough games, right? And you're coming off a bye week and you tend to start sluggish. And if BC punches you in the mouth, which would be a first, but if they punch you in the mouth, that would be, I just slide that in.
Oh yeah.
At Syracuse, because
absolutely.
Yeah, Clemson the following week.
Anytime you go to Syracuse.
And Syracuse, I don't think will be very good. And I think they'll be good eventually, but like, I'm not sure Fran Brown is going to have it humming like in year one, even with McCord. I just don't see it, but it open to being wrong, I guess. We'll see how good they are when November comes, but that could be a trap game if they're not very good before you play Clemson. And then Duke coming off a bye, because, and Duke might end up being good, and maybe Virginia Tech, you know, won't be a trap game. They'll have their full attention. But this is another situation coming off a bye where you're, again, tendency to sometimes start slow against a Duke team that I think will be pretty well coached with a dynamic quarterback in Malik Murphy, if assuming all goes well and he's still healthy and playing to his capability. That's a game before your rivalry game at the end of the year, where if you're Virginia Tech and you got a real good record going into that bye week, you're just trying to get through your next two to maybe, you know, at, you know, your top expectation. You're trying to make a run at a conference title. Like, you got those two at the end of the year that you just kind of have to get through. I could see Virginia Tech's, you know, showing up a little sluggish, especially in that Duke game.
You know, Mike, the home game against Marshall before this pivotal matchup in Norfolk, can certainly be a trap game. Virginia Tech's sights are going to be solely on the Monarchs, you know, 6 weeks ahead of time.
Can't slip up there. So here come the thundering herd, you know, from the Big East day, you know, the Big East days when Marshall was always on the non-conference schedule. I mean,
those
that was an annual
the days,
thing.
Mike, those were the days.
Over under on, what do you think the over under win total is going to be in Vegas? I think it's going to be around 8. I think it's going to be 7.5, 8.
Mm.
Do you think it's low?
No, I think it's a tad high.
Oh,
I was
going to
say,
7, I think.
Okay. I thought you were okay. That's fine.
6.5 at the absolute lowest.
I mean, hammering the over.
Yeah. I mean, no, I think 7's a fair number. I mean, the gap from 3 wins to 6 wins is a lot smaller than the gap from 6 wins to 8 wins. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to get your team to a 6-win threshold than it is to get your team to an 8-win threshold, obviously.
Yes.
And we know that Virginia Tech has a better roster going into next season than they did coming into this one. But you have to find a way to win some of those close games that sometimes it's not all about the Jimmies and the Joes, right? It's some of it's luck, a lot of it's coaching, right? And Virginia Tech is going to have to find a way to get the most out of this roster. And if they do that, I think 8 wins is absolutely on the table. If they don't get the most out of this roster, you're going to find themselves looking at 6 or 7 again. And I don't think folks would be mad if Virginia Tech went 7-5 in the regular season, but I do think there would be a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of hype around this team right now, and a lot of it's deserved. But I do think that there's certainly a way that Virginia Tech gets below 8 wins. So I think 7 is probably a fair number for Vegas.
Yeah, and I think when you start talking about 8 wins from a Vegas number standpoint, I think that's when what you're trying to make it difficult in a lot of cases with these win totals. You're trying to make it difficult for fans and bettors to take the over, right? You're trying to really, really make it difficult for them.
Yeah.
When you talk about 6.5, 7, I'm like, okay, I see a lot more scenarios in my head where I see this team winning 8 games, going at least 8-4 than I do seeing them go like 7-5. Right. So that's the way I look at it in my head when I'm betting totals. To say 7-5, or I'm sorry, to say 7.5 wins or 8 wins, though, now you're like, all right, if we're pushing it 8, like, to bet the over, Virginia Tech's got to win 9 games, right? So
yeah,
we just talked about the schedule and how I think Virginia Tech on paper going into the year is going to be favored in a lot of these games. But we're talking, we named 3 games where we think Virginia Tech has a chance to be an underdog, right? We talked about, we didn't say it specifically, but I think we were kind of inferencing that, right? Miami, we inferred that they could potentially be an underdog there. I think there's a possibility for Virginia Tech to be an underdog at Georgia Tech. And then obviously Clemson. And a lot of it depends on what Georgia Tech looks like too. Non-conference schedule, you're probably favored in every single one of those games. You're likely favored going to Stanford. At Syracuse, depends on how they look. That's the one road game, and potentially Duke later, but the Syracuse game especially, that's a one road game where it's like, what does Syracuse look like? Do they look competent? Because if
just how many times have we seen good teams go into what was formerly known as the Carrier Dome and just kind of, you know, mess around for 3 quarters and they end up getting their ass beat.
National championship teams at Clemson went to the Carrier Dome and lost. Like,
yeah,
it happens. So there are a lot less, there are fewer scenarios in my head where I'm like, if I'm a better, where I'm like, yeah, Virginia Tech's winning 9 games. So that's why I think it's going to be probably like 7.5, 8. 7 would not surprise me either, Ricky. I'm very curious to see what the number is when those come out later this summer.
You're right. If it is at 7, you're probably going to get a lot of people hammering the over on that.
Right. And because they're thinking, like, what's the likelihood it's 7-5, right? Like, 8, I think you get some action both directions, right? Because at 8, it's a push. So it's like, that's where it gets interesting. Like, 8-4, I think, is a record that's probably most likely. I think some fans listening to this might disagree, but I think 8-4 is the most likely record going into the year looking at it. because Virginia Tech has a traditional slip up game. I think there are at least three games where there's a chance that they could be underdogs. It just gives you that variability there, Ricky, where even if like Virginia Tech stepped up and won a game that I wouldn't say they shouldn't, because like I think they could beat Georgia Tech. I think they could beat Miami. I think based on the version of Clemson that we saw last year, I know Virginia Tech struggled in the trenches against better caliber competition, and Clemson would certainly qualify even with their struggles last year. But I think this is a game this year where if a similar version of Clemson shows up in 2024 to Blacksburg that we just saw in 2023, I think Virginia Tech will be better equipped to handle it this year than they were a year ago. I just think another year of development, better identity. I think they're better equipped to handle it.
And we're still not really sure what Clemson's going to look like on offense. I mean, they're losing Will Shipley, and Klubnik has been okay / good sometimes. The receiver room at Clemson has taken a huge drop off.
Yeah.
And I think that that's been one of the biggest things that's kind of held them back over the last couple seasons, is they just have not had the guys on the outside or even at tight end that can make such a difference on the offensive end. I think that's really killed them. And it's kind of put Kate Klubnik in a bit of a pickle where, you know, guys aren't getting open downfield. You start making bad decisions. And of course they won't use the transfer portal to address some of these issues.
Yeah.
So that causes a whole nother issue.
Can't even begin to understand why he will not do that, but whatever. All right. Do you want to do record? Should we be sick and do January record predictions? Do you want to do that? We didn't do it
why
last
year.
We didn't
not,
do it last
Mike.
Year. We didn't do it last year for some reason. I don't think.
Why the hell not? Let's do it.
We are not going to be held to these records if Virginia Tech exceeds or disappoints.
No, but if I happen to call it on January 24th, I will absolutely take
a
victory lap.
If you call it on January 24th and it's different from the record that you make on the season preview this fall, and Virginia Tech actually has the record that you say today and happens to be different, we're counting this one.
Yes. And then if it happens to be wrong for this prediction, but correct in August, then we'll count that one.
You and I are golfers. It's like a breakfast ball.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's a breakfast ball. It's January. It's early.
I haven't had any time to warm up yet on the range. I'm already bad at the game.
I agree.
Yeah, this is a breakfast ball.
I agree about the range part, not about you being bad at the game. I don't want to insult you like that.
It's okay. You'd be accurate.
It's January. Nothing matters. Ricky, 9-3. I just told you 8-4 is most likely, but it's January. I'm optimistic. 9-3.
Well, so let me run through the games quickly and count the losses.
Sure.
I'm going to count Miami as a loss.
Okay. All right, 11-1. We're done.
Man, I'm going to count Clemson as a loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to count.
I think they lose one other one.
At least.
And I don't know where it is. I mean, I think it could be Georgia Tech, could be BC, could be, I mean, Cuse on the road. I'm just naming the whole schedule.
The Georgia Tech game is at home, and I think that plays a big role that they don't have to go to Atlanta. God, how are you guys going to handle that on the BC podcast?
Oh, like we do every year it's played, buddy. It's a Tecmo Bowl, so it's just bragging rights for next year.
Well, this year you'll be able to turn on the EA college football game, hopefully, and you guys can put that on, which...
That is a great idea. We'll simulate it and we'll just watch it.
If you don't think I'm buying that game immediately when it's available,
we're pre-ordering the thing. I will be playing it.
I'll be glued to my PlayStation for
hours.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
Hours.
Parenting duties out the window that
week. He'll be fine.
Yeah, Kate, bring Mimi over to watch. Noah, I am playing video games for 11 hours straight.
Um,
Yeah, I'm gonna go 9 wins too. I mean, I don't know where that third loss is, but I'm going to assume that it's there. It could happen at Duke. I don't think it happens at Syracuse. It could happen at home to Georgia Tech. It could happen at home to Rutgers. I mean, there's a couple opportunities in there. But all things considered, I think Virginia Tech is looking at a nine win schedule right now. And, you know, sitting at this point in late January, right? So there's so much left that could happen. But I'm going to put 8 wins as my floor. I think this team's got to get to 8 wins in order to feel like this was a good season. Otherwise, I think you're going to feel like you have very little of the momentum compared to what we have right now in terms of buzz and, you know, hope and optimism and people, you know, being happy with each other. So, yeah, I'll go with 9.
Ryan and staff need to capitalize on this roster because
and
the schedule, right, absolutely, and the schedule, because in 2025 I think you're going to lose a lot of talent.
Absolutely.
Your receiver room in particular is going to be gutted. Kyren Drones, if he has a really good year, like, he's draft eligible. You're going to lose Bashal Tootin in all likelihood. You're going to be losing likely both of your corners, several defensive linemen. Like, it's going to be 2025 is going to be, and Pry has been
recruiting
well.
It's going to be a tough
year. It's going to be a big time reset year in 25. I know we have the portal and everything else. I know Pry and his staff are off to a good start recruiting in terms of the talent they're bringing in, but you got to develop all those guys too. But this is, you got kind of like a early in the tenure, like, this is a big time year early on to like set expectations for what you want the rest of your tenure to be. What do you want the trajectory of your tenure to look like? This is a really important year from that standpoint with the schedule and all the talent that they have, and, you know, avoid all major injuries in the spring for the love of God.
Like, yeah. You're not joking.
Please. But
yeah. And I think part of it too is that winning 9 or more games this year builds you a lot, or really gives you a lot longer leash moving forward. So if the 2025 season is a bit more rough, right, and Virginia Tech does go out there and maybe struggles to get to 6 wins, or they only win 7, fans are going to be like, okay, we understand this is kind of a rebuilding year, reset year for the roster. A lot of those guys will be young and will be going into their second or third year as starters. So you would feel much better about the following year, and you would be able to rely on the success that Brent had had with a roster that was much, much older, much more experienced. So to me, I think 9 wins and get you a lot of that credibility that you've started to build up with this fan base, right? The fans trust that this is going in the right direction. You continue doing that if you get to 9 wins.
Agree.
8 wins, I think you do it, but not to the extent that you may want a year to 2 years down the road.
Open for interpretation if 25 goes poorly. And
yeah,
the other thing too that I just thought of that I think is an important point as well is if you win 9 games and you're bringing back a roster in 25 that's like young but has some talent, you're still recruiting well, which we anticipate the staff to continue to recruit well. There's no reason to really feel like they won't, short of like the team playing poorly just with the way things have been going on the trail. You know, you continue to recruit well. In 2025, you become an attractive spot for some of the big time transfers, right? Especially the guys who, we've mentioned this before, they're from the state of Virginia that went elsewhere, like Kelvin Gilliam, right? Who was a big time recruit, went elsewhere, came back home to Virginia. Like, you become a more attractive spot in the portal if you're coming off of like a 9+ win season and a really good year. You go to a big time bowl, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really important in 25 because Virginia Tech's going to have a young roster, but Pry is going to want to keep the momentum going if he has a good year. And I think one way to do that is obviously to supplement with the portal. I think you become an attractive destination for better players if they feel like they can go to Blacksburg, play for Pry. There's a track record of getting guys put in the league. It's all the stuff that some of the big time programs are doing and that have been successful for longer periods of time. I think this is kind of the first step to making that happen, is having a really good 24.
Yeah, and something we're going to talk about later on this off season, because we were talking about it tonight before we started recording. The landscape of this sport has shifted by an immeasurable amount
A
over the
lot.
last month, and that's going to have implications for Virginia Tech and the rest of the country moving forward. So I'm interested to kind of explore that a bit more, because college football is not the same as it was in, December last month. A lot has changed.
I mean, it was. This was NFL, but it was like college ramifications just because of what he did before he went to the NFL. Like Pete Carroll moving into an off-field role. And then, like, later in the day, Nick Saban retires. And then tonight, before we record, Jim Harbaugh goes to the NFL. Like, these are
Oh, and Bill
Bill Belichick. Yeah. I mean,
Belichick.
I'm a Patriots fan. Bill
Yeah.
Belichick and the Patriots part ways. Like, monumental moves. In the coaching landscape, Belichick obviously like pro only, but at a college level, you think of Harbaugh making the jump, you think about the impact that Pete Carroll had on the sport, obviously not chopped liver. And then Nick Saban obviously retiring from Alabama. I mean, the landscape of college football and the NFL changed quite a bit since we last recorded. So, yeah, we're going to get into all that and kind of where Virginia Tech fits because there will be another round of conference realignment that'll be really, really annoying and where the ACC. Where and like
Mike, you're
where the
telling me
ACC
you
is,
don't love it
what it
when
looks like.
you don't love it when the ACC adds teams on the West Coast? You don't love
All Coast Conference.
that? All Coast Conference, yes.
The All Coast Conference Championship game being played at
Honestly, Jim
Bank of America
Phillips just
Stadium.
should buy into that right now. Like, trademark it. Start getting the graphics team to work up a logo. Tell ESPN it's happening, right? The All Coast Conference.
And I think while you're at it, start talking to the Big 12 and see what they got going on. I think that
Yeah.
would be something good too. All right. We are planning, Ricky and I are planning to, again, Andrew's doing a lot of travel for work. So Ricky and I are planning to record again, planning tentatively, planning to record this weekend again to talk about the basketball
Basketball.
teams.
Virginia Tech's had some big games, good and bad,
Yes.
on both teams over the
Yes.
last couple weeks.
Yep.
We all know that Monday Nighter is looming.
Yes. Big one against Duke. And Virginia Tech is
In need of quality wins.
they're right where I thought they would be. They are like on the bubble, basically. So every win they can possibly get is needed. Tech's got Georgia Tech this Saturday. They're coming off of a Boston College win last night to move to 4-4 in ACC play. Win against a Georgia Tech team that is definitely beatable. A win against them on Saturday at home would move the Hokies to 5-4 before playing Duke, 5-4 in ACC play, before playing Duke on Monday night, which will be a big one. But Hokies have played well against Duke before at Castle, so that arena will be on fire. Yeah, but we'll try to record before then. If not, early next week, but we will be back in some way, shape, or form to talk about basketball and whatever else comes up. But we wanted to make sure we jumped on tonight to talk about the schedule. Follow Ricky on Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it, at Ricky LeBlue. Follow me at Mike McDaniel SI. That name will probably change shortly. That handle changed. But it's Mike McDaniel SI for now.
At Mike
And
McDaniel, insert outlet here.
yeah, insert outlet here. It's still a very fluid situation. At Andrew Alex Radio and at Hokie Hangover. We post on that social media account quite a bit. We got some.
Also, I'll do a generic tease, but there's a interview that's being worked on kind of behind the scenes that we will record and put out right around the start of spring practice, something around that time frame. So be on the lookout for that. We're really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, we got big stuff coming. So hang with us throughout the off season and spring practice, all that good stuff. Yeah,
Rate, review, subscribe.
rate, review, subscribe. Thank you. And
And
we'll
for the love of God, Lamar Jackson, save us. Save us from the Swifties, please.
Enjoy conference championship weekend. Go Hokies.